It has been a very sad week, hasn't it? Tracy and I, we were on holiday and sat watching the TV, hearing that the medical team were gathered around the Queen and people were being called up to come and see her and just knowing what was going to happen. But when you get that text through, or we get a message through on my phone which just said the Queen has died, it was just a huge sense of sadness because we had lost someone who was so such a focus, someone who had been such a great example to all of us. And this morning, we're going to think about a little bit about her. But before I went on holiday, 2 weeks ago, I prepared a message and thought, and I still feel it's appropriate today, actually, to bring this message slightly changed. But it's interesting, when people talk about the Queen, they talk about a number of things. You hear a number of words, don't you? You hear the word duty, and you hear the word service, and the words faithfulness. And it's true, she has reigned this country for 70 years, and she has been so faithful in what she's done. She has fulfilled her duty, the duty that she promised all those years ago. But also people have talked about her faith. And I think for many people, when they talk about faith, they think this is what she believes. You know, she believes a number of things. But what is really clear is that her faith was more than just a set of beliefs. One of my friends has in his church, one of the Queen's chaplains who'd retired. And he said to the pastor there, he said, do you know what? She has a real faith in Jesus Christ. She has a real relationship. You know, she's not just wearing a badge as a Christian, but she has that relationship with Christ. And I don't know if you read it, the one about the chaplain talking about the second coming. The fact that she wanted to lay her crown at his feet. She was hoping that Jesus would come back in her lifetime so she could do that before her Saviour. And so we know that the Queen had a real faith. And that faith produced fruit. And we've seen that across the years, don't we? Across our country and within her family, the fruit that she is born through the faith that she has. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want us to talk about fruit. And I can ask you a question. How fruitful is your life today? If you claim to be a Christian, what kind of fruit are you producing for God and for others? And so if you have a Bible, I would like you to turn to John chapter 15, I'm going to read from verses 1 to 9. If you haven't got a Bible, there are some over there, or you can look up on your phone, your iPad, but I just want to read these words. So the background to this is that Jesus had been in the upper room with his disciples. He'd washed their feet. That was John chapter 13. Jesus begins to teach them. And he says, I'm the only way, I'm the only way to get to God. He talks about the Holy Spirit, and they have supper together, and then they leave. John chapter 14, end of John 14, they leave, and they start to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. But it's reckoned that as they walked along, Jesus taught them. And we find these words in John chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it'll be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. So some great words from Jesus. We're going to kind of unpack that. And I want to just ask you to do a bit of a checkup this morning. Tracy and I, we came back from holiday yesterday, so had to get the washing on and all those kind of things. So I had to leave early. And I thought, well, Tracy's getting ready. What I'll do, I'll go upstairs and I'll kiss her goodbye. And as I did, she then stood me still and looked at me. She said, I need to check you over. And I kind of find this more and more, you know, she wants to make sure that when I go out the door, that I look my best. Now, that's really hard to do these days. But she kind of checked me over and said, oh, dear, you got some blood. I obviously shaved and I got a little bleed, so she had to get that off. I felt like I was 5 years old being checked over by my wife. But this morning, what I want to say to you, the reason I've said that is because I want you to have a look at your life and answer those questions seriously. Are you bearing fruit for God in your life? What difference does your life make for God and for the world? Because we've talked about Queen Elizabeth and we can see the difference that her life has made. Yes, she had a high place and she used that for God. But you have a place and God wants to use your life for him. You see, we think about fruit, don't we? Fruit, the fruit that's produced is not for the vine. It's not for itself, it's for others. And so your life, the fruit that God wants you to produce, perhaps is not for you, but it's for other people. So what fruit are you bearing? And so we're going to look at the words of Jesus and see what he says. Because you see, Jesus said, I am the true vine. Now to the people listening, they would have understood that because Israel had been called the vine as well. And if you like a bit of Bible study, go to Isaiah 5 verses 1 to 7. And it will talk about the vine and God's vine. And it says, I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones and planted it with the choicest vines. He built a watchtower in it and cut a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded only bad fruit. So when Jesus talked about the vine, people kind of, yep, I know that. That's a bit of the Old Testament. I understand. And what Jesus was saying was actually, Israel was not a good vine, but I am the true vine. I am the vine. This was the last of Jesus' great I ams. And he's telling the people, telling his disciples, I am the true vine. And it's through me you can bear fruit. So I've got three things to say this morning. Firstly, about potential. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So Jesus is saying to his disciples, actually, guys, you're not a great bunch of people. You know, if you look at them, they all have their kind of problems. But he's saying to these people, if you remain in me, you will bear fruit. You have potential. Now, some people think this passage relates to, if you look at verse 6, it talks about if you don't remain in me, you'll be thrown away and thrown into a fire. But it's not talking about the loss of salvation. In fact, as people say, it actually could be talking about Judas, because he's talking about discipleship here. But what it's talking about is how people can appear to be connected and not actually bear fruit. Do you know what percentage of people in this country or in England claim to be Christian? What kind of percentage do you think that is? I did the little bit of Googling, and 59.4% of people in our country claim to be Christian. Okay? I worked out that in Basingstoke, that would mean that 111,840 people would be at church today. That's amazing, isn't it? It would mean that of the 50 churches in our town, they would have to have 2,200 people in each church, which means that we would need to run 10 services a day to get everybody in. How exciting is that? Amen. Whew, Stuart, you'd be worn out. 10 services today. Could you imagine? Amen. He's looking forward to that. But you see, people can claim to be Christian. If you want the stats for, for Northern Ireland is 82.3%, Scotland only 53.8%, and Wales is 57.6% of people who claim to be Christian. And yet you would say, probably not. Because church attendance is what? 5% of our population, possibly 6%, maybe to 8%, I don't know. But it's not great. So there may be people today who claim to be Christians and are not. But what Jesus is talking to his disciples about is he's talking about the fact that they will bear fruit. Their future, if they remain in him, is to bear fruit. They will be history makers. They'll be world changers. They are going to bear fruit. The question is, what is fruit? When Jesus was talking about fruit, what did he actually mean? Well, if you read your Bible, you can say there are a number of things that we could say are the fruit that God wants for us to bear. One is evangelism. Okay? And what do I mean by that? It means about sharing your faith, giving your faith away to other people. I wasn't here last week, but I hear we had a giveaway last week. We had these given away. Okay, how many people took one? I wasn't here. But these are to give to other people. A form of evangelism, sharing about the Alpha Course so that people can hear about Christ. If you didn't get some, how many left you? Great, just a couple of hundred. If you don't want to give them to your people, you know there are loads of those things to be delivered all over Basingstoke. We've gone large on our delivery because we got a good deal on the printing. So we need to be evangelistic. We need to share what we have with other people. Secondly, we could talk about holiness and obedience. When it comes to holiness, when it thinks about choosing what is godly against what is ungodly, obeying the word of God. Paul in Romans talks about giving, being fruitful. Our giving, giving away what God has given us, the resources he's placed in our hands. Galatians 5 talks about a Christ-like character. Your life should look like the life of Jesus. Does it? Do you say the kind of things he would say? Colossians 1 talks about fruit being good works. Worship is another form of fruit. Do our lips and our hearts worship God? Is that the fruit of our lives? Are we people who are loving? Are we people who are obedient? What should a Christian look like? We used to joke years ago, it was always about sandals and socks. And if that's you, I do apologize. But it's almost like you could tell what a Christian looked like. Perhaps carrying a Bible. Jesus says that by their fruits you will know them. And that should be true of us as God's people. Are we loving? Are we generous? Do we have the power of God working through us? These are questions to ask ourselves. And if we look at the life of Queen Elizabeth, I don't want to put her on a pedestal, but you could see those traits. There was a life of integrity, a life of service, a life that bore much fruit. I'm going to show you a picture. Woohoo! This is from my garden. Okay. As you can see, this is my strawberry plant. Okay. On the left is my strawberry plant. Do you know, I had this Groupon thing come through. That's always a problem, isn't it? Groupon. Okay. And it was 24 strawberry plants for £12. I thought, that sounds a great deal. What I'll do is I will buy 24 strawberry plants and I'll share them with my children. And we'll all have strawberries for the summer. So my £12 went off and these little things just look really weird, came back, and we planted them, and we watered them, and they all died. Except one, which is the strawberry plant that you can see, with huge leaves. It's great, isn't it? It looks really good. Do you want to know how many strawberries I've had from it? Don't be silly. I got more than one. I had four. So I worked out that every strawberry I ate cost me £3. So next year, when Groupon write to me and say, do I want a strawberry bus? The answer will be no. Interesting, isn't it? Because actually, it looks good. And if I didn't tell you how many strawberries I had, you'd say, oh, well, you've done really well. That's a really nice strawberry plant. But there's no fruit. On the other hand, this is my apple tree, and you can't see it because the picture's rubbish, but it is covered in apples. Apparently a good year for apples. Absolutely covered. It is bearing so much fruit. And I suppose my question to you is, which one would really represent your life? Four strawberries? Or a massive harvest of fruit? Because Jesus says that we all have the potential to bear fruit. But not just fruit, but more fruit. And then you'll see later on he uses the word much fruit. So your life has the potential to bear much fruit. So which one are you? I need to move on because we have got to do a little bit more Bible study. The next question I have for you is, totally lost where I am, is the whole thing about what is the process of bearing fruit? What is the process? The process involves two things. And firstly, it involves remaining. Now, the words of Jesus, he talks about remain in me. He says, if I remain in you, remain in the vine, remain in me. It goes on and on about remaining. In fact, 11 times in this passage, Jesus talks about remaining. And if you read your King James Version, the word would be abide. And so what Jesus is saying is actually there is a place where we need to be to bear fruit. And that is we need to be connected to the vine. We need to have that connection with Christ. And if we do, then we will bear fruit. We'll bear more fruit and much fruit. And here comes the simple question. How is your connection when it comes to him? Because Jesus gives this very stark warning. He says, if you don't remain in me, apart from me, you can do a little bit. A small amount. He uses the phrase, apart from me, you can do nothing. That's quite shocking, isn't it? Because we think with our, you know, with maybe some of the gifts we have and the talents we have, perhaps we can achieve something. But he says, if you're not connected to me, you can do nothing. So how is your connection? We all want to be connected in today's world, don't we? If you want to check your phone, see if you've got your, how many bars have you got? Have you got 4G? Have you got 5G? Have you got 3G? I have to say this church's connection is rubbish. We've only got 3G on my phone. Goodness me, where I live, I've got 5G. Ooh, yeah, it's really fast. Here it's rubbish. But how is your connection? Are you connected to Jesus? And how do we connect to Jesus? We connect to Jesus through obeying his word. And that's clear. We find that if we obey him, we love him. But through our obedience, we will bear fruit. If we're connected to Jesus, we can do that through prayer. We have a very exciting time coming up. Woohoo!
Yes!
Thank you. We have a prayer week, or 10 days. I don't know how you... But on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we have 48 hours of prayer. Do you know how many people have signed up so far? It's not as many strawberries. Oh, it's the same number of strawberries as the number of people who've signed up for prayer, okay? And here we are, a church of probably 70 people sat here, and four people are going to pray next weekend and try and cover 48 hours. You see, the thing is, what you're thinking is, well, I'm going to pray, and, you know, I'll talk to God about the world and the church. But actually, when we pray, when you take an hour out of your life to sit down and pray, what are you doing? You are connecting. And that's what we need. We need to connect. If we want to bear fruit, we need to pray. We're going to have a retreat on the 24th of September out at Mooreshanger. You can come along. You can have 3 hours with God. And lunch. And it's free. Why haven't you signed up? I can tell you, there's more people signed up than strawberries on my strawberry plant. Hallelujah. But we got room for loads more. So sign up and come and spend time with God. Do you know what? I have never been invited to come and see the Queen. Wasn't on the list. But daily I get an invite to go and spend time with the King of Kings. Don't I? Don't you? In fact, he's waiting for you. Let's take time and connect with God through prayer. And then lastly, our devotion to God. We become fruitful as we are devoted to him. We connect with him when we give him our lives. Somebody wrote to the Queen, "We will never forget her warmth, compassion, and devotion to duty. She demonstrated extraordinary dedication and commitment to duty through her reign and did so with graceful strength and admirable determination." Great words, isn't it, that you could write about someone and the life she led. I wonder what they'll say about us when we die. What will the words be used when people write about us at our funerals? Will they say he was someone who was connected to Christ? He had a life of obedience, a life of prayer, a life of commitment and devotion to his God. I pray they will. So we need connection. But the other thing we also need is we need pruning. Hallelujah. We like a bit of pruning, don't we? How many people here call themselves gardeners? Oh, yeah, quite a few of you. How many of you like a bit of pruning? Yeah, you see? You gardeners, you get out there and you scan it back and make it. But why do you do that? Is it because you're sadists? No, because you want things to grow properly. You want to have life and abundance, don't you? And so the Father is the gardener. And it says this in verse 2. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. So pruning, you're cutting back the dead wood, but also you're cutting back the live wood so there'll be more fruit. And we could talk ages about vines and how that process happens and how long it takes to become a proper gardener, a proper... I've got a wasp flying at me. A proper vine keeper, or what you want to call them. But actually, you see, when it comes to growth and life, sometimes we need to be pruned. I did an online morning with some of the church leaders, and we started to talk about being fruitful. And then I said to them, what in your life has God pruned? And that was really interesting. Because for some of them, and me included, I would say one of the areas of pruning has been through health. That actually, you know, we're all wanting to get up and go, and sometimes God slows you down. He puts things in your life, and your body's not quite doing all the things you wanted to do. And you suffer health issues. And it's almost like God says, I want you to slow down. For some of it, it's failure. I spoke to one leader who said I had to move on from a church. They basically sacked him. He says, I don't know why. And there was a whole sense of being pruned by God. But actually the pruning meant that he moved on to a much more fruitful environment. And for some it's disappointment. The things that you really hoped were going to happen haven't happened. And it's like God has cut something away. There is a saying that growth follows the knife. And I think as I look back on my life, there have been times that have been really hard. But what I have known is I've known God's presence and God's help and God's strength in a way I would never have known if life had been easy. And so often we ask the question, why is this happening to me? And I've always said that is the wrong question. Because what we need to ask is, what is God doing in my life? Because God always has his purpose. God always has a plan. And maybe God is pruning us to cut things away so that growth can come. There's two things. As I was thinking about this, being on holiday in Cornwall, saw a lot of sheep. And I was thinking about this, also, as I was doing my Bible studies, Isaiah 40 came up. And it's great verses, Isaiah 40, you know, and we're going to run and not grow weary and all that kind of stuff. But in verse 11, it says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs into his arms. He carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And that's a beautiful picture, isn't it, of God being the shepherd and carrying us. We're close to his heart. I remember when I was at Bible College, we had to do a study on Isaiah 40 and the shepherd. And I remember I found this passage, or found this in a commentary, where it talked about how the shepherd always looked after his sheep. And the trouble was that sometimes the sheep would run off. They would hear his voice and be disobedient. Anybody like that here? None of you, of course. But you see, the sheep would run off, the lamb would run off, and the shepherd had to teach the lamb not to run off. And what he did, and this doesn't sound very nice, but he broke the leg of the lamb. Ouch. Which meant that the lamb could not run off. But what he did was he then put the lamb on his shoulders, and he carried the lamb. And for me, as we talk about being pruned, I kind of see, and maybe you don't see the link, but I see the link, that actually sometimes stuff in life needs to be broken. Stuff in life needs to happen to us so that actually we're closer, we're picked up and we're closer to our Heavenly Father. We're closer to Christ. And we see that too in the words of 2 Corinthians. It's also been on my kind of reading list at the moment, where Paul says that he had a messenger from Satan, a thorn in the flesh. And three times I pleaded with the Lord, take it away from me. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. And therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. As we think about life, sometimes life is tough. And maybe God is pruning us, but God wants our lives to be more fruitful. He will draw us closer to himself through those difficult times if we let him. And then lastly, let's just finish by talking about the blessings of fruitfulness. Okay, here we go. There are loads. We could go on and on and on about the blessings of fruitfulness. I've put down three, I think. First one is God is glorified. God is glorified. What does that mean? It means that as people look at your life, they see something of God in you and think, that is really good, because God is good. And we can say that Queen Elizabeth II, her life brought glory to God and continues to do so. I was watching the service at St. Paul's, I think it was Friday, I'm kind of lost track of the days really, and just ordinary people invited, 2,000 ordinary people just to come in and be part of a service. And I thought, here is God being glorified through a person's life. I think what I hoped is that that would be repeated throughout our country. That actually, as she brings glory to God, that people are drawn to God. They will come into churches. At the funeral service, they will see something of God in all that's going on. Because it's interesting, isn't it? In all the kind of rituals and traditions that are being talked about, how often do we hear about God? So much. You can see the crown and the Church of England and God, they're all connected. And let's pray that through this process, God is glorified and that people are drawn to him, that the Holy Spirit takes what is happening and speaks into people's lives. The second thing we can say is that prayers are answered. It says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Hallelujah. We want to see prayers answered, but we can do that as we are connected to Christ. John 14, verse 13, John 5, verse 7, John 16, verse 23, all say that we will have our prayers answered, that God will give us what we ask for. So let's start to ask. If we are connected, God will hear us and answer our prayers. Verse 11, let's have the next one, please, Dave. It's joy will be complete. He says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Going back to, what does a Christian look like? Some people are giggling. Because some people know that Christians don't always look particularly joyful. But you do today, can I say? You will look good today. Because what Jesus is saying is, if you're connected to me, you remain in me, your life will be one of joy. And interesting, isn't it? Let's look at the phrase he says. He said this, that your joy, my joy may be in you, okay? That's pretty good, isn't it? To have God's joy in your life. It should make you smile a little bit. Shouldn't it? Okay. And then it says, and that your joy may be complete. Okay, so you don't get a little bit of joy, you get a lot of joy. In fact, your joy is complete. Amen. Give us a smile. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Whew. You've got no excuses to be miserable. True? Nothing. Even with a bad, poorly leg at the front. Happened for a reason, eh? How many weeks off work? You got a desk job. Good for you. Keep working. But this is amazing stuff, isn't it? That Jesus is saying your joy will be complete. And then here's a clincher. Have I got this one as well, Dave? Next one, friendship. Okay, how's your Facebook looking these days? How many people are you friends with? Okay, I have to tell you, none of them are as important as this person. The important person of Jesus. Let's just hear what he says. He says, this is my command. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. You are my friends. Wow. Does that blow you away? Okay. QE2. Well, I shouldn't say that. It sounds disrespectful. QE2. How many friends did she have? How many people could say, I'm her friend? Probably hundreds, maybe thousands. But it's not you and me. Whereas we have someone we can call a friend who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he says, you are my friend. Wow. What amazing words from Jesus our Saviour. I want to finish with verse 16 of chapter 15, which I didn't read you. It says this, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. You see, why do you think you're a Christian? Eh? Why? Because Jesus loves you. Yeah? And he gave his life for you. Yeah? Amen. Does it stop there? No. Because actually what Jesus is saying is, I've saved you, you're my friends, yes? But I have appointed you to come to church every Sunday and sit in the pew and look at me and hear Stuart play. No, he's appointed you for a reason. What is that reason? So that your life can be fruitful, that you can be a blessing to God and a blessing to the people around you. Wow. God has chosen you to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And how are we doing? Are we a strawberry plant? Or are we an apple tree? My prayer is that we will hear the words of Jesus and we will say, yes, Lord, I want to bear fruit. And not just fruit, but more fruit and much fruit. And that means we need to connect with our Saviour. And maybe for some of us today, we need to reconnect. Should we pray together? Father, we thank you for these amazing words of Jesus. We thank you that he declared that we are his friends. And Lord, we just relish in that. We just love that fact that we can be called the friends of Jesus. But we thank you too, Lord, for that connection we can have with our Saviour. And I want to pray today for your church, Lord. As we enter this phase of being released into this world as the church, I want to pray, Father, that for each of us, that we would connect with our Saviour. We would spend time in his presence. We would obey his word. We would follow his word. And that we would bear fruit for you. Lord, may our fruit be shared with others. May that fruit impact the world around us. May it bring glory to God. May it change our world. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.